might take him a little while to get used to snow, him saying in that press conference the fact that he's used to white sand on the beach instead of white sand in the air. So the Florida kid obviously will have to get used to the Denver weather, but I see him fitting in just fine.
Yeah, that was one of the jokes that we made when we were riding in the car back. He was just like, what is going on here? I thought that was April. One other funny thing that we talked about is, and this has been going around social media a lot, his facial hair. Mm-hmm. People are making comparisons about it. He said he just tried it out one day. It stuck, and all of his friends really liked it. And it's part of his trademark now almost because that's how a lot of people are identifying with it.
How committed is he to keeping it?
I think he's pretty committed. Okay. He likes that thing.
Man, so. It could be the brow, the new version of the brow, right? The goatee. Maybe exactly. Something's there. I don't know.
He's stuck with it. He likes it. He says that the most identifiable part of it, though, is his mustache.
Okay, well – identifiable as he is, we're going to go to our other man, very identifiable next to the PPI, and that is our own Andrew Mace. Mace, it looks like you're through the first round, on to round two.
Yes, but first, talk about Paxton Lynch. I think he's got the best quarterback facial hair for a Denver Broncos since Jake Plummer.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
Stash, and he had the blue blocker sunglasses going.
What about Kyle Orton?
Yeah, what about the beard on Orton?
The neck beard. I wasn't a fan of the neck beard. There's no grooming involved with a neck beard. That, you know, what Paxton Lynch has, you have to cultivate.
It's more facial hair than I can grow.
Yeah. Well, why don't you try it sometime? Try No Shave November.
Absolutely not.
Because Boyer's a little boy.
I had the No Shave November going anyway. Round one, looking back at it, obviously there were no surprises at the top with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz going 1-2. And then Joey Bosa, certainly not a reach, but people thought maybe the Chargers are going to go tackle, try to find somebody to help protect Phillip Rivers. But Bosa, outstanding fit there, and their defense needs a lot of pieces as well. Ezekiel Elliott, little bit of a surprise, but we all know how Jerry Jones likes to make a splash from time to time, and certainly this is the kind of pick that can do it. And certainly the Cowboys feel like they are one player away from getting back to being an 11-5, 12-4 type team, getting Tony Romo healthy, handing off to Ezekiel Elliott, throwing the ball to Jason Witten and Dez Bryant. I think they feel like they've got a lot of weapons now. And then Jalen Ramsey, really interesting offseason for the Jaguars because they've done a lot to upgrade their defense. They signed Malik Jackson, of course. They're getting Dante Fowler Jr., their first-round pick from last year, back from a torn ACL. Jacksonville's defense, that could be an X factor in determining how the AFC South ends up going. And then Ronnie Stanley. Now, this is where the Laramie Tunsil fall really started to take hold because Ozzie Newsome, Ravens general manager, he admitted that Tunsil went off their board after the bong and the gas mask surfaced on draft night. So Tunsil ends up going all the way down to 13. Eventually had a press conference today after a Dolphin cited an allergic reaction from him not doing so. So he's trying to put the pieces together. As you can see, and then Jack Conklin, of course, went before Tunsil, and that was a real surprise. A lot of people had Conklin going 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there, and he ends up going number 8. That was a mild surprise. Going through, it's, you know, a lot of guys that fit their spot. Eli Apple, I thought, really a bit of a reach for the Giants at number 10. But the picks around him, Floyd, Hargreaves, Rankins, that seems like the right spot for those guys. And in all those cases, for the Bears, Bucks, and Saints, fill positions of need. And then on to we go through Taylor Decker, of course, at number 16. Joseph at number 14, a little bit of a surprise as far as going that high, but coming off a torn ACL. That people thought maybe that's going to lead him to go late in the first round. I had him mocked to the Broncos at 31, but I think once he gets healthy, it's going to be good value for the Raiders. And the second half of the first round got kind of interesting. You know, Ryan Kelly, there's a lot of differing opinions. Some people think that the Colts might have reached on him. I think they got a steal at number 18. I think he's going to be their center for the next 10 years and is going to do very well with Andrew Luck. Number 20, the Jets, Darren Lee. As we talked about earlier, that's where you thought maybe Paxton Lynch might go, but the Jets apparently happy for the moment with their quarterback situation. We'll see what changes tonight. We'll talk more about the Jets when we get to the mock of round two. And then the run on receivers happened, 21, 22, 23, Fuller, Doxson, and Treadwell. Treadwell, I think he's the best fit of those three with the teams. I think he and Teddy Bridgewater are going to do great together. Bridgewater loves to throw the ball to narrow windows, very Peyton Manning-like in that skill. Treadwell, he doesn't get much separation, but he wins a lot of jump balls, and he makes great plays in traffic, and that's going to work out for them, I think. And then you got to the end of the first round after Paxton Lynch. Robert Kemdichi, you know, maybe the most talented defensive lineman in the draft. His fall finally stops at number 29, Arizona. Great fit for him. He needed to be on a team with strong coaching, strong locker room, lots of good influences. That's going to help him out. Vernon Butler, someone that a lot of people liked, going number 30 to Carolina. Dave Gettleman loves to pick defensive linemen. He collects them like some people collect baseball cards. And Ifedi, number 31 to the Seattle Seahawks. They had to address the offensive line. It's been hit over the last couple of years. I don't think they're done addressing the offensive line. I think they may find a guard tonight. And that brings us to day two.
Round two.
And let's start.
There it is. The first slow reveal? Come on, man.
The first pick of the second round is going to be, in my opinion, Miles Jack. I think this is where his slide will stop. Clearly, the best player on the board. He's here because of injuries. But Cleveland, being the money ball type under Paul Petit Podesta, I think they're going to find the risk-reward ratio is right for Miles Jack at number 32.
I had him as a top five talent, so no qualms here for me at 32 for sure.
So anyway, that's where we start, and let's keep going. Pick number 33, that's going to be the Tennessee Titans. I have Mackenzie Alexander, another first-round pick who slid a bit, cornerback out of Clemson. I think the big concern about him is no interceptions over the course of his time with the Clemson Tigers, but he's a good cover corner, and the Titans need some of that on their defense. Number 34, I have Dallas going for Noah Spence. You know, a troubled guy with some issues in his past, ecstasy addiction, couple of arrests, got kicked off Ohio State, end up at Eastern Kentucky, but an outstanding pass rusher for a team that needs some explosion off the edge. There's other possibilities. I could see them going for Kevin Dodd at some point, but oh, there it is. Thank you. Anyway, but Noah Spence, number 34. Hunter Henry, best tight end on the board, number 35, going to San Diego. They lost Ladarius Green. At some point, they're going to have to replace Antonio Gates. This is a good situation from him. He could learn from Gates, kind of like Todd Heap back in Baltimore in the 2000s learned from being around Shannon Sharp before he came back to Denver. That could be a good spot for him. Kendall Fuller, I have going to the Ravens, number 36. He's a man. He's a press man corner. He's very aggressive, really fits the style of defense that the Ravens like to play in terms of the aggression that they show. He's coming off a torn ACL, but he should be back and good to go. Kevin Le Correa, number 37. I have the outside linebacker going to Kansas City. We know Justin Houston looks like he may not play at all this year. They have Dee Ford. Tom Bahali is getting older. They need another pass rusher. I think Correa can help them right away. Cody Whitehair, he's a guy I have in my top 15 as far as best available going into the draft. I have him going to the Jaguars. I can't imagine his fall lasting this long. I think part of the reason he's tumbled a bit is because the measurables on him aren't great, so teams are wondering, okay, what's his upside? But technically, he's an outstanding player, and he's an immediate starter for a team that could use a guy like him. Von Bell, Tampa Bay, number 39. The Bucs really need some safety help. He's the best guy on the board, I think, to take care of that. Reggie Ragland, a lot of people had him in the first round last night, but he didn't go. Have him going to the Giants, number 40. You know, there were some rumblings that the Giants were targeting Leonard Floyd, and the Bears jumped them to get to the number 9 position. This would allow them to get that linebacker taken care of. Number 41, Jaron Reed, another guy a lot of people had as a first rounder. Have him going to Chicago. They've got a real issue at defensive end. They need someone like Reed up there. Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy winner. I have him going to Miami at number 42. They took care of left tackle last night with Laramie Tunsil, but of course we know how they need a running back. We know what they did trying to get C.J. Anderson as a restricted free agent, giving him the offer sheet. So that has been a priority. They are finally able to fill it here at 42, I predict. Number 43, Jonathan Bullard, defensive lineman out of Florida. Have him going to Tennessee. They've got two picks here in a three-pick span. A'shaun Robinson, another big Alabama defensive lineman. Have him going to Oakland. At 45, you have Michael Thomas out of Ohio State, the wide receiver, getting a target for Marcus Mariota. Andrew Billings, the massive defensive tackle from out of Baylor. I have him going to Detroit. They've got to address the interior of their defensive line. It's taken some hits the last couple of years. And number 47, halfway through the second round, Xavien Howard, cornerback, going to New Orleans. I think the best player available at this point for the Saints in a position of need, especially in a division that's got some very good receivers and some very good quarterbacks. Howard will help them out tremendously if they pick him.